My wife and I, we have a favorite Christmas memory. We just happen to have this on video. And so I'm going to set it up for you, and hopefully, guys, are we going to be able to show it? Well, set it up. Well, you need to come up here and set it up. There's people online listening, so.
Okay. Oh, I don't have to have that. Okay, so there was this one year we lived in Nashville, Tennessee, and my husband just admired this beautiful brown leather coat. There's a name for those coats. You guys know them. Bomber jackets. So it was like over $100. And this was back in like 1984? Seven. So I knew I shouldn't have got up here. Here's something to laugh about. So anyway, so he just was admiring this coat, and I thought, we can't afford this coat. So I snuck off over there. And something happened. So this is what you will find out in just a second.
Okay, well, let me say a few more things. No, I've got to. No, they won't understand if I don't. So here you go. She had convinced me she didn't buy this coat. But she did. No? And she sent it home with my family. And we're at Christmas Eve now. And I've got a younger brother. He's 11 years younger than me, but he's about my size. And, you know, how many of you were like one of the first kids in your family, and when the last kid comes along, you see them getting a lot of stuff you didn't get as a kid. Anybody had that experience? A lot of you have. That was me. And so he's like born 11 years after all of us. So he's getting like a brand new electric guitar, and he's got all these big expensive gifts. And I'm sitting there as a young father of our first child and married guy watching my little brother open all these expensive gifts. But he has one more. And he pulls this thing out and he opens the box, and then it's the jacket. So here we go. Let her play.
Never mind.
To Dale.
Uh-oh.
Look, everyone.
What you got? Show me to it. Let me check that out.
How do you like that?
I like that. That's what I wanted for Christmas.
Who's that to?
Here.
Who's that to, Papa?
Papa? What's that? Don't know. I want those to be, Papa. You've been had, my brother. You have been had. You have been had.
He took me through every store in the mall showing me 11 jackets.
And he said he got victory over it. You got it in.
The meek inherit the earth.
How about that?
The ones who don't throw a stink get leather jackets.
You don't even hurt your earth. You learn.
That's right.
I've had it ever since the day I went and picked it up, and I told you about it.
No. That's pretty. That memory is 33 years old, so anyway. But it still brings a smile to my face. You know, the best news doesn't get old. The best news. 700 years before Jesus was born in a manger in Bethlehem, the prophet Isaiah proclaim the joy that it would bring to the world. And now here we are 2,000 years after Bethlehem, and the joy is still possible in our lives no matter what 2020 brought to us. Amen? Joy is still possible. Pastor Seth read the traditional rendition of the Christmas story from Luke chapter 2. I just want to point out one phrase, and then we're going to go back and read Isaiah's prophecy. But he says, "Do not be afraid." This is the angel. I bring you good news that will cause great joy. Say great joy. I bring you good news that will bring great joy for all people. All people. And I believe that one of the chief characteristics of our hearts during Christmas should be one of joy. Because even though in my mind that was the perfect setup and perfect Christmas gift that Christmas 33 years ago, Jesus Himself was the ultimate gift, period. And the angels say it should bring joy. And that's what I want to talk to you about. Let's go to Isaiah's prophecy. I want you to know even then he was talking about joy. He says, the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you've shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. For unto us a child is born. Why all this joy of the harvester? Why all this joy of the warrior who has won and gathered great plunder from his battle? Because a child has been born. That's why. What makes your soul want to sing? Talking about deep down inside of you, what makes you want to celebrate? What is the root that produces the fruit of joy in your life? You say, well, what is joy? I think joy is that deep sense of satisfaction that celebrates. That deep sense of satisfaction that celebrates. Yes, deeper than Alabama fans celebrating last night. Deeper. Deeper, guys. Deeper. Okay? Deeper. So what makes our soul want to sing? It's not pleasure, really. It's not money. As a matter of fact, there was a study. They studied income levels and levels of happiness from 1957 until 1990. And what they found out was this, is that even though the average income in America doubled between 1957 and 1990, happiness didn't. As a matter of fact, depression, suicide, and various social and emotional ills quadrupled and more during that same period of time as the average person's income doubled. So what makes souls want to sing? Where is real joy found? You know the answer. This is the Sunday school answer, right? You know the answer. And yet today, because of the kind of year we've been through, and because of the kind of month we've been through, and many of you, because of your own challenges just in the last few weeks, I feel compelled to say to you this, in spite of all of that, there is joy in Jesus. And I appreciate Cheryl's testimony a while ago. You say, this is just preacher talk. No, it's real, Cheryl. Amen. It's real. Amen. Jesus is joy with skin on. We don't often think of Jesus in terms of joy, do we? We think of Jesus in terms of power and love and wisdom. Right? Courage, even humility. But do we associate this characteristic, this experience, this attitude of joy with Jesus? Because I'm going to tell you this, it is just as much a part of the character and nature of Jesus and of our God as any of those other things is. It is woven through all of the love and grace and peace and wisdom and power and beauty. It's all woven in there. Joy is a part of every bit of that. You say, well, you got scripture for that? I just happen to have a few. In John, I've told you this so that my... This is Jesus talking. Red letters here. I mean, I know they're white, but red letters. I have told you this so that my joy, say my joy, may be in you. This is Jesus talking to his disciples. That my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. And then a few chapters later, this is the same night. This is the night that he was betrayed. I say these things while I'm still in the world so that they may have, he's talking to God at this point, they may have the full measure of my joy within them. Amen. This is Jesus talking, guys. It says in Zephaniah, you can go to that scripture. Well, let's just read it. The Lord your God is with you. The mighty warrior we just sang about. The mighty warrior who saves. He will take great delight in you. In his love, he will no longer rebuke you, but will rejoice over you with singing. And I've said this before, and I've preached on this very passage before, but this means somebody that is celebrating. I'm talking about like, you know, high-fiving, twirling, jumping, woo, that kind of celebrating. And it says he's doing that over you. I'd say he's Mr. Joy. He jumps up and down and twirls over us. He exercises his joy fueled by me. I fuel his joy. And you do too. Because of who Christ is and what he's done, we have a root for our joy that the world can't give. And the
world can't take away.
Thank you, Deborah. We have a root for our joy that is not dependent on how good a year 2020 was. We have a root for our joy that does not depend on our circumstances or our greatest heartache or our greatest opportunity or our greatest possession or experience. We have a joy that is rooted in this one thing. That Jesus was born in a manger for you and me. He lived the perfect life, died a sinless death, and rose again so that we could experience what Cheryl testified about just a moment ago. That, and that alone, is the root for our joy. It is the root. And the harder times are, the more we have to go and dig down beyond the circumstance, past the pain, past the disappointment, past the disillusionment, maybe even past the depression, and say, my joy does not depend on these things. It depends on the changeless one, the one who was and is to come, the one who never changes, the one who took on flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as the only begotten of the Father. That's what our joy depends on. Because of Christ, there's three things that I think we should root our joy to that Jesus has done for us. And the first one is he's helped us endure trials. Trials endured. You go back to that prophecy in Isaiah and it talks about that the yoke would be shattered. The yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Why? Because to us a child is born. And if you go on, you know the rest of the scripture. He will be called, you know, Counselor, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And of his government there will be no end. Because a child was born, we can endure our trials. And we can do it with joy. Because we know that nothing that's coming our way is greater than the one that's going to go through it with us. When we know that, we can have joy even though the way is rough right now. When we know that we never have to face a trial alone, when we discover that even in the middle of the trial, we're becoming something, we are investing in something bigger than ourselves, when we begin to realize these things, then the joy of Jesus can be manifest in our hearts even in the middle of our struggle. Because Christ has come, trials can be endured even with joy. 1 Peter says this, "In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief and all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen Him, you love Him. And even though you do not see Him now, you believe in Him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you're receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls." Sounds to me like Peter is saying, even in 2020, understand something. Your trials, because Jesus is in the middle of them, your trials is taking you somewhere, and your trials are helping you become something, and one day you're going to see the glory of it. So you can endure with the awareness that that deep sense of satisfaction that makes you want to celebrate is not dependent on how good 2020 was. Because He wants to bring joy even in the middle of our trials. We can endure just about anything with joy. With the assurance that we're not alone and we're becoming, as I said, becoming something and investing in something. Look at this scripture. This is Jesus talking again on that same night. A woman giving birth to a child has pain because her time has come. But when her baby's born, she forgets the anguish because of her joy that a child is born into the world. So with you. Now, men, I have been informed that I will never know what it's like to have a baby. We all have. You know what? I'm just going to say, Uncle, I concede. And I will also say, I'm not sure I want to know. I mean, I'm sure it's an amazing experience to have a live human being kicking around in your womb. That's got to be a rush. But now the actual birthing, I was present at 3 of my 4. So I have an idea from the outside looking in how painful and anguishing that can be. But Jesus is saying to His followers, listen to what He's saying. So with you. He's saying, just like a woman has that anguish and pain, and until the baby's born, then it's all joy. He's saying, so it is with you. Now is your time of grief, but I will see you again, and you will rejoice, and no one will take away your joy. Go a few verses down, and there's His statement that we quote so often. I've told you these things so that in Me you may have peace. In this world you'll have trouble. Take heart, I've overcome the world. Why can we have joy? Because our joy is taking us somewhere. It's like a baby being, our trials are taking us somewhere. And we can experience the joy of working through the trials with Jesus in our life, knowing that nothing that happens to us has happened without it being sifted through His loving hands. Moses lived this principle. He said, you know, he gave up the pleasures of Egypt to suffer with the people of God because he saw something better coming. The apostles and early Christians endured with joy. 1 Thessalonians 1:6 says, you welcome the message in the midst of severe suffering with the joy given by the Holy Spirit. But Jesus is our ultimate example of joy in the midst of the most excruciating trial any human being ever has been subject to. And in Hebrews 12:2, it says, for the joy set before Him, He endured the shame, despised the cross, and sat down at the right hand of the Father. Let me read it exactly. For the joy set before Him, He endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. He endured the shame and the pain so that He could secure our eternal treasure with His own blood. And that's the second thing. Because of what Christ did, our true treasure is secured. Why can I live with joy even when I have loss? because the things that matter forever have been secured by the sacrifice and the promises and the presence and the reality of Jesus Christ. As long as I know the things that really matter forever have been secured by the victory of Jesus, I can have joy even when I have sorrow also. You say, those are mutually exclusive. No, they're really not. And that brings us, like I said, treasures that are secured. This brings us joy. Knowing that we can endure any trial brings us joy. Knowing that trials endured and treasures are secured, those things in Christ, those things bring us joy. That's the root of our joy. It says they rejoice before you as people who rejoice at harvest. And it goes on down, of course, and it says, for unto us a child is born. Harvest time is a metaphor for fullness of life in the Old Testament. Jesus secured fullness of joy by His sacrifice and His presence in our lives. He has secured fullness. True fullness. It's a true treasure that lasts forever. Everything else is merely a tool, a toy, or trivia. Everything but true, lasting, eternal treasure, and people are lasting treasure, by the way. People are eternal treasure. But everything besides people and what God gives us in His Son, everything else is just a tool. Or it's a toy. Or it's trivia. He has secured eternal treasure by what He did on the cross and what He does in our lives today by His Holy Spirit. The purchase and preservation of our eternal treasure began with the birth of a baby in a cow stall. And that's why we celebrate this week. Everything that will matter forever was secured by the incarnation, the humiliation, the sacrifice, and the resurrection of our Lord. Peter talked about this treasure that never fades when he said this, when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. Never, say never fade away. Never fade away. Never fade away. And that brings us to the final thing, the final root of our joy that is in Christ. And it's this. Not only are trials endured and treasure secured, but victory is assured. Amen. Victory is assured. Some of you have been through some tough times in the last few weeks. And I don't know, but maybe somebody sitting here, somebody watching us online today, you've gathered with us and you're hearing this message and you've begun to wonder, am I going to make it? Am I going to get through this? Can I handle life? Can I really deal with another 2020? The reason we can have joy is because our victory is assured. Amen. You say you got scripture for that? Just happen to have a few. And by the way, this is, says they rejoice as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder. In other words, they won. They won. And they're celebrating. Why? For to us a child is born. To us a child is born. We're more than conquerors through Christ. You know, this is kind of like, and I think I've used this illustration a number of times, but it's kind of like you're on the playground and you're choosing up sides for a team and everybody wants the big guy, right? The boy that's, you know, they held him back a couple of grades or something. I don't know. He's just like, he's huge. And everybody wants that guy. And if they can just wiggle the situation around where they can choose that guy to be on their team, they start celebrating like they've already won. The big guy's on my side. The big guy's on your side. He assures victory, and we can start celebrating now. We have joy because our victory is assured in Christ. Victory over death, hell, and the grave. Romans 8:37 says, knowing all these things, we're more than conquerors through Him who loved us. We can have joy because all that will affect our lives has already been overcome by Christ. You say, but I still got battles. If it's overcome, why am I still battling? I'm not saying there's not still a battle going on. I'm saying you fight differently if you're confident. If you'll just keep fighting, you're going to win. Right? If you're confident that if you'll just keep slugging, the giant's going down. If you're just confident, if I don't give up the fight, I will eventually win. I'll wear them down. You see this happen in sporting events all the time. But this isn't a game I'm talking about. This is our life. Why can I have joy in a year like 2020? Because my ultimate victory is assured in Jesus. I just got to keep fighting. I just got to keep. I just got to keep going. I got to keep putting one foot in front of another. I got to keep praying. I got to keep worshiping. I've got to keep seeking His face. I got to keep continue surrendering and giving Him place in my life so He can manifest His power and victory in my circumstance. A third century man, we're talking about somebody about 200s A.D., was anticipating his death, and he penned these words to a friend. It's a bad world, an incredibly bad world. But I've discovered in the midst of it a quiet and holy people who have learned a great secret. They've found a joy which is 1,000 times better than any pleasure of our sinful life. They're despised and persecuted, but they care not. They are masters of their souls. They have overcome the world. These people are the Christians, and I'm one of them. I want to tell you something. My joy has been challenged in the last 2 weeks. I hope that don't rock your world, but my joy has been challenged. And I've had to go back to the root. Anybody with me? Root is deep, and the root is true. And I can endure trials because He is going through them with me, and He's taking me somewhere through them, and I'm becoming something in them. I can have joy because my true treasure is secured. I can have joy because my victory is assured if I'll just keep fighting. That man that wrote those words understood that. He saw that in people. Christians. This is the period of time when Caesar was making human torches out of them in his garden parties, throwing them to the lions, watching them sing with a glow on their face, looking into heaven as lions rip their bodies in shreds. That's the period of time this man was writing, the time of persecution. When our joy is challenged by circumstances or disappointment or darkness and even death, we must exercise our will and reconnect to the foundation, the root of our joy. the root from which it springs, and that is obviously our relationship with Joy himself, the one who conquered death, hell, and the grave, the one who endured the cross, despising the shame. It was for the joy set before him. He is joy with skin on. So how do we take hold of that, even in the midst of difficult times? We rejoice. We rejoice. We rehearse the roots of the reasons we can have joy in the worst of times. We rehearse our foundation of joy. And we remind ourselves of what that little baby in that manger represented and began in that moment of incarnation. We remind ourselves that it didn't stop there. And he lived a perfect life for us. And he died a sacrificial, loving, unselfish death. Substitution for our penalty. And he rose again. And he is large and in charge. That is the root of joy that the world cannot take, nor can it ever give. He and he alone can do that. I want the worship team to come back. We have to learn to rehearse our joy. Rehearse and remind ourselves of the root reason why we can celebrate in the middle of difficult circumstances. I'll talk more about this next week maybe, but I want to give you just a little bit of homework assignment for next Sunday. Ask yourself what the difference is in the way you've endured 2020 and the way unbelievers around you endured it. Because one of the greatest testimonies we'll ever have to a lost world is the way we navigate difficulties. That's a big difference in us. People of faith. What do we have faith in? We have faith that trials can be endured and that treasures are secured and that victory is assured. That's what we trust in Christ Jesus. I want you to bow your heads with me if you would. For those in the house, on site, or those online, I just want to say this to you. If you haven't put your entire trust in the one who will go through the trials with you and will secure your treasure forever, the one who will assure your victory, if you haven't trusted him with your life, with your past, your present, your future, with your prerogatives, your privileges, and your pain, with your mistakes, with your dreams and with your disappointments, if you haven't entrusted your entire self into his care and control, you've missed the root for real joy in this life. You can have that, but you're going to have to put yourself in his care and control and surrender and admit, I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. I'm cut off from the root of joy. I'm cut off from the one that can assure victory over life's battles. I'm cut off from the one who can secure the only things that last forever. I'm cut off from the one who will go with me through every trial and actually help me become something greater in the midst of my trial. I'm cut off. But that's why he came, to reconnect you. And I want to challenge you today. Just pray a simple prayer of invitation and confession and say, that's me. I've done it my way. I've done it in my own ability and strength and wisdom. I'm ready to surrender. I'm ready to say, you are it. And I'm all in. and I surrender myself to you. That is what brings eternal life. That is what brings peace. That is what brings joy. That is what brings purpose. That is what brings power, is surrender and trusting that what Christ did as a baby in a manger, but more on a cross and in a resurrection, what He's done was for you. Dare believe it today. If you make that kind of decision today, we'd love for you to let us know, whether you're in the house or you're online, we'd love for you to let us know. I know that a lot of people sitting here today, we're believers. We've entrusted our lives to Him, but things have been tough for some people. Jesus is not overwhelmed. He's not overwhelmed. He cares and He hurts with us, but He's not overwhelmed. He's your strength. He's your victory. He's your endurance. He's your treasure Himself. I think what I want us to do is I want you to, those that are in the house with us, and you can do this in your living room if you're watching today, just would you stand with me and raise both of your hands up to heaven just as a sign I'm reaching and I'm surrendering. I invite you, Jesus, I invite your presence to be manifested in my life today in a new way. I want the victor to live large in my life. I want the ultimate treasure to shine bright in my life. I want the strength of my life to be manifested because you are my strength, oh God, and my portion forever. I invite you by your Holy Spirit. Fill me with hope. Fill me with peace. Fill me with your joy. Lord, fill me with your strength. Fill me, oh God, with a sense of mission and purpose that will take me through tough times. I invite you. I invite you. I make place for you. Just like God, somebody made a place in a stable 2,000 years ago for you to be born in a manger. We make place for you today. We invite you into our routines. We invite you into our thought streams. We invite you into our attitudes. We invite you into our relationships. We invite you into our occupation. We invite you into our homes. We invite you, oh God, into our schedule. We invite you, oh God, to the place of honor and privilege that no one else holds. We give you the throne of our heart and we ask you, rule as King. Rule as King in me, oh God. Rule as King. And let the root of victory and treasure and trials endured erupt with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Yes. Would you sing with our sister? I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. I invite you, oh God. Take all of me. Rule in me. Oh Lord, I give myself as a gift to you because you gave yourself as a gift to us. Hallelujah. Speak, oh Lord God. Work in our hearts today. Reveal the beauty and glory of the Christ child, but also the glorious Warrior King Jesus. who is more than enough for every circumstance. Refresh our vision of your greatness and your goodness and your beauty. Hallelujah.